Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
Hey guys. Wow, I feel like I have such a full heart right now. I'm so thankful to hear all these amazing stories. And as I look into this crowd of beautiful people, I'm just wondering, where do y'all get all the blazers from? It's like every 4 years, you just pop them right out and wow, great. Anyway, I'm so thankful for you guys. Let's give a hands to the fourth years one more time. Wow. We are definitely gonna miss you so much. But yeah, so if I haven't, well, if you haven't had the privilege of meeting me, my name is Rigo. I'm on staff here with Chi Alpha. I'm usually the guy in the back messing up the sound. I have no idea why they thought it was a good idea to put me up front here, but hey, here I am. Anyway, so this past semester, we've had an awesome time going through a series titled Things I Need to Be Reminded Of Often. What an awesome time we have had hearing from different staff members as they've shared about timely reminders that are close to their heart. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6 says the following: "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands, bind them to your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This is a command that Moses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was given the Israelites to remember the things that the Lord had said to them, to remember the things that the Lord had promised. And so tonight, we're going to wrap up this series, and we're going to wrap it up in stellar fashion, because you know what the Bible says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, hey, we saved the best for last. Sorry, Josh Moran. Shots fired. Ooh. Hey, it's all going to tie in. Don't worry. Hey, so I think it's really awesome. It's a really cool testament to the Spirit that when I first found out that I was speaking in this series, that this topic came to mind and this scripture came to mind, that I am not a strategic thinker. If you spend any significant amount of time with me, you will realize I am not a strategic thinker. So this is definitely that the Lord, that he put this scripture in my heart as we study and as we're going to talk about one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples. In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm giving a commencement address. I see all these dolled up faces here just sitting, looking at me, waiting for this last bit of wisdom that I can give them. So I hope I don't blow it for you guys. So what better way to send you off fourth years as you go into this new season of life. And for the rest of you who are entering into a summer of new opportunities with jobs or places or positions back home, what better way to send you off? What can I tell you? What type of wisdom can I give you? Well, as you transition into this next journey, I just want to give you a phrase that I really hope that you would treasure and carry with you for a long time after this. Are you ready for it? It's the following: it's not all about me. It is not all about me. So, raise your hand if you are a selfish person in this room. Thank you, a few honest people. The rest of you who did not raise your hand, you are liars and deceivers. You probably eat at Zaxby's Chicken, because anyway, that's all I'm going to say. Ooh, boom, gotcha. Yes. The following message is coming to you on behalf of Cane's Chicken Fingers. I'm just kidding. That's not true. But it's okay. Jesus still loves you. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how selfish I am. All right, check this out. So I hate sharing food, all right? Let's just be real. When I order something at a restaurant, I order just enough for me, okay? I need every single fry. I need every single chicken finger, every single bite of that juicy burger. Like, that's all for me, okay? So one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody has the audacity to come up to me and say, hey, can I have a bite? Excuse me? Hold up. You see, I am starving here, okay? I need every single fry, please. Back up, homegirl. And I say homegirl because usually this is my wife. Needless to say, marriage has been a journey of humility for me. But the funniest part is that I knew this about my wife before marrying her. In fact, I knew this battle was lost way before we were ever even married. I remember there's a time when I was at home visiting her family, and we're seated around the dinner table with her dad, her mom, and Abigail, and I'm just minding my own plate. You know, man's got to eat. I'm just, you know, chopping down. Her parents make some amazing Cajun food, so I'm just enjoying it up. And somehow, we get on this topic of, you know, picking food off of people's plates, and I'm just, you know, minding my own plate, and I tell her dad, Mr. David, don't you just hate it when people pick food off your plate? And I look up, and as I look up, I see him reaching over to his wife's plate. And he looks at me and says, where do you think she gets it from? Well played, sir. Well played. All right. Roasted. I lost the battle. That's it. Game over. So needless to say, I'm a selfish person, okay? And, you know, this story and many, many more instances in my life have reminded me of one crucial aspect of the Christian life. Again, that this isn't all about me. So I'd like to focus the rest of our time, like I said, observing one of the final moments that Jesus spent with his disciples, as this is one of our final moments together for this year. For you fourth years, probably the last time you ever hear a sermon or see my face. I'm just kidding. So anyway, let's focus back on Jesus, all right? So we're going to turn to John 13 and observe this instance where we see the imperative to live a selfless life. So we'll begin in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off the outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Let's skip over to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Would you pray with me for a moment? Lord, I just pray that as we talk about this scripture, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and remind us, Lord, of why it's imperative that we live selfless lives, Lord. Thank you for the example of your son, Jesus, Father. And I just pray that tonight, God, you would give us ears to hear and hearts to be open to your word. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. So it's interesting to note what Jesus does here for his final core group, right? Many scholars have termed this instance that we observe here the farewell discourse of Jesus. But for a moment, if you allow me, let me take you back and let's talk a little bit about what we're observing here. So scripture tells us that the meal was already in progress. They were already eating. And I imagine the disciples sitting around the table, awkwardly staring at each other, wondering the same thing. Who was going to do the ceremonial foot washing? Why was this so important? In Jewish culture, this task of washing people's feet before dinner was reserved for the lowest of the lowest servants. This often meant that the Gentile servants, who were the cultural outsiders of the time, who were even considered lower than Jewish servants, got this task. Have you ever been in a sports team? Currently, I play with the Champions League called the Gold Diggers. I play soccer in an awesome team with Blake Thompson and Zach Herman. I can't see him, but he's here. Playing on a team will teach you a lot about humility, okay? Look, I know I am not the worst player on the team, okay? Look, I'm not the best. I'm not the worst. I'm usually the guy that goes in when Blake gets tired and he needs a break so that he can come back in the second half and score all the goals so we can win. That's who I am, okay? But I'm not the worst, okay? I'm not the worst. Come on, you know what that's like. You know what it's like to not want to admit you're the worst, right? And that's not just me, right? Okay, this is exactly what we're observing here. None of the disciples want to admit they are the lowest, so it's unfathomable for them that Jesus would be the one to do this. And yet, what do we see that Jesus does here? In one of his final moments, one of his final actions, he does something that's very important for them. He takes off his outer garment, and basically in his undergarments, wraps a towel around his waist, and one by one, he lovingly washes his disciples' dirty, crusty, smelly feet. It's funny, but it's true. There's nothing pretty about this task. There's nothing glorious about this task. It was a dirty, smelly task. What a beautiful example of service that we have here. Jesus teaches us a key truth about the Christian life through his actions in this exact moment. We cannot call ourselves after his name and be a selfish people. We cannot call ourselves after Jesus' name and be selfish. After taking time to wash their feet, Jesus again firmly tells his disciples, just a few verses later, he says the following, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another." He didn't just love with words, but he loved with actions. This is an amazing, beautiful, humble servant, Jesus, that we serve. He descended from his heavenly throne and dwelt among us. He felt with us. He hungered. He had joy. He had laughter. He had pain. He had suffering. He chose former fishermen, former tax collectors, the social pariahs of the time, instead of choosing the Ivy Leaguers of his world. He routinely healed and elevated those that society had cast out. He saw something special in them. And if all this wasn't enough, he took on the role of a humble servant and stooped even lower to wash the feet of the men that he loved the most, the men that he walked the most closely with. And all of this was on his journey to the cross. He lived a life of self-sacrifice. This moment that we observe isn't the only self-sacrificial moment of Jesus, but it is such a beautiful image and such a timely image that he chose to give his disciples. Dick Foth, our honorary Chi Alpha grandfather, in his book Known, he writes very beautifully about this instance, and I want to share a quote from his book. Dick writes the following, "Jesus will die in a few hours, in no small part, for befriending the wrong people, eating at the wrong tables. He was vilified for being a friend to sinners. To follow Jesus is to give people your space and to give them your life all at one shot." I want to repeat that again. To follow Jesus is to give people your space and to give them your life all at one shot. So what difference does the gospel make here? How does this final example that Jesus gives us, how does this example change us? So I want to give you three ways that we should respond, that we need to respond in this case. And the first is that we are to draw near to Jesus. See, Peter, what a pinhead. I used to have a teacher in high school who would call us pinheads whenever we'd fall asleep. Anyway, she was really awesome. But Peter, such a pinhead, right? Though he claims to love and respect his master, his teacher, that dude lacks humility. Okay, and that's the entire point that Jesus is trying to make in this moment, to wash his feet. But in Peter's response to Jesus, we see a pride. We see a self-will to refuse the help of his humble master. How many times do we want to take part of Jesus' mission without first truly understanding what he accomplished for us? This is why in Chi Alpha, we say something that I hope you would remember. Never let serving God replace knowing God. See, we need humility to understand that we need his gracious love in our lives. Humility is a quintessential character aspect of a disciple. And maybe you've never experienced this kind of self-sacrificing love in your life. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to draw closer to Jesus tonight. And as many of you transition into a new season of life this summer, I want to charge you to spend time with your humble Savior. Live life founded on daily devotions with Jesus. Let him lavish his love on you. Let him pour over his love for you. Don't just look at these times of devotion as times of spiritual projects to develop yourself into a better spiritual authority or a better spiritual person. But look at these times as a moment to receive from God. If we're to take part in Jesus' mission, we need him to prepare us. Because like Peter, we are not good in and of ourselves. Recently, I found this quote by Dick Brogdon that I think is really applicable in this portion. He says, "I love others best by loving Jesus first. I love others best by loving Jesus first." I charge you to let Jesus be the first thing in your life. First moment you wake up, for him to be your first thought. Strive for that. Fight for that. Live daily devotional lives with him. Second, follow his command in community. Think about this. Jesus could have spent his last hours, his last night, doing a number of things. Okay, he could have had one last Sermon on the Mount. He could have had one last flyering outreach at the Greek amphitheater, one last table, one last pancake table out there. But what did he decide to do instead? Jesus chose to spend time with his closest friends in an intimate setting. Why do you think this was important? Why is it important that he would do this instead of something else, out of all the other options that exist? And I think it's because Jesus knew that those men in that room would need to stick together through what was getting ready to come their way. He knew that the church would need to know how to love each other well, that the church needed to love each other to make it through this next season that was getting ready to come. As we spend time in community, we realize a few things about each other, about ourselves. We realize that we're not the only ones dealing with stuff. We realize we're not the only ones with needs. We realize that we're not the only ones with things to celebrate. We're not the only ones with things like joy. Fourth years, I bet that some of your most memorable times in college have been those moments where you chose to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And I bet that you will carry those memories with you for a really, really, really long time. So strive to build a community based on the transforming power of Christ's love. Take what you have experienced here and bring it where it is not. You don't have to do this alone. Be a person devoted to each other. Be a person devoted to community. And lastly, follow his command with purpose. Another thing we say in Chi Alpha is that what God does in you, he wants to do through you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is something that always challenges me routinely, and it is the following verse, just said a few lines later in this story that we're talking about. Jesus says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Living a Christ-centered life instead of a me-centered life, will preach Christ to the world. It is radical. It is radical that you would choose to treat your coworkers with kindness, compassion, and love, instead of trying to use them as ends to your own means to obtain a promotion or to get something out of them. It's radical that the first thing you would consider is where you can reinvest the money you got as a raise from your job into the kingdom of God. It's radical that you would choose to put your degree, your career on hold to partner with missions where the gospel has not gone. Radical purpose breeds a radical life. If we believe that this life we live is not all about us, then we need to embrace our sense of real responsibility. So maybe you can identify with this about me. I know I am not the only selfish person in this room. I saw many raised hands. But when I focus too much on myself, on what I need, what I want, what I don't have, what I desire, what I should have, what I shouldn't have, I start losing sense of my God-given purpose. And let me tell you something, that's a very scary place to live when you lose your sense of purpose in this world. So I challenge you to ask, how is God calling me to be an agent of love and reconciliation where he is sending me? And my bet and my hope is that this will include trying to figure out what this means for my life, for your life in missions, partnering prayerfully or practically. What it means for my local church, your local church. What it means for those within and outside of your community. I challenge you to consider this question. And so as we close tonight, just want to reemphasize a few things here. That the words of our beautiful, humble Savior, they show us that beyond shadow of a doubt, that this life is more than just about us. In verse 15, Jesus says this, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And as if his words and his foot washing weren't enough, if you turn the pages and keep reading on, he went to prove to his disciples his love for them on the cross. This life is not just about us, guys. And so as we humble ourselves and discover the love of Christ, we grow in love for him, and we grow in love with those within our community. And as we continue to thrive in this community, we embrace our purpose to be Christ ambassadors. That's what Chi Alpha means. We embrace our purpose to be Christ ambassadors. So I want to urge you guys to go and radically transform the world around you through this love that you have experienced. Remember that it is not all about you. And so as we close tonight, I want to invite you guys to stand. We're going to play some music in the background because I want us to take a moment to pray with each other. I want you to find your core group. Before you do that, I want you to find your core group. And I want you to pray for one another. Pray for your summers. Pray for your jobs. Pray for whatever it is that you're going to this next season. And embody this message that it is not all about you. And so we're going to play some music before we close off in worship. I just want to encourage you guys to pray with your core group.
So Jesus, we just pray that you would seal all these prayers tonight, God, that you, by your faithfulness, that you, by your grace, that you, by your love, would do everything we could ask for, everything that we could imagine, God. Be with us this summer. Help us to live our lives that are anchored in you with a real devotional life and real community, embracing real responsibility. As these fourth years step out into what the world would have for them, Jesus, we pray that you would give them everything and more, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Be with them, Jesus. So God, we love you. We are so thankful for what you have done in our hearts, in our lives, in our community, this semester, in this year. We entrust the future to you. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right now. great semester of the Lord's faithfulness. As we close out the final M&L for some of you, the final M&L of a first year for some of you, but the final M&L of this semester for all of us, who could say really? Let me pronounce the benediction over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. May He turn His countenance towards you and may He give you favor. May He give you peace. May He give you shalom. May He give you wholeness. May He give you exceedingly more than you could ever ask or imagine. May He give you every spiritual blessing in Christ. And may He give you friends to do it with. And the boldness and the audacity to share this glorious gospel that surround you wherever you may end up. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be blessed, Chi Alpha.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.